Welcome to The Christian Atheist, where faith and reason fuse in the Incarnation. Episode number 136, Malachi, My Messenger, Part 1. Last year, as we were trying to sort out the new direction for The Christian Atheist, we thought it would be useful to look at Jesus the Living Word and the Word of Scripture more generally with as fresh eyes as we could manage. We want to see him as he is, and without the accretions and built-up theological and cultural assumptions all of us make, both inside and outside the faith. By doing this, we do not mean to devalue history or tradition on these things, but only to reset our thought patterns, to see the Bible's record on its own terms again, in historical and theological context, as God gave it. To follow God and not man. We want to know Christ, the Word of God in both his living and his written revelation. Since many of the most exciting things are discovered at the margins, I thought before launching into the New Testament, it might be useful to examine the between the worlds territory, the transition from old to new, specifically in the last of the Old Testament prophets. Malachi, which laid the proximal ground for the new covenant. By choosing Malachi, we do not mean to exclude what went before in preparing the ground for the incarnation, nor will we exclude their witness. But we will focus through Malachi on that which was to come in the Hebrew Scriptures. We reject in toto the higher critical and secular presupposition that prediction is not possible. That is, we refuse to dignify the presuppositional Hegelian starting point that a supernatural reality does not exist. If that is where you start, the higher critical program becomes the only game in town, and the incredible becomes credible. We believe that both the evidence and the rationality is on our side in presupposing God's existence and his ability to predict the future through his chosen messenger. For in fact, Malachi means my messenger. We do not know if Malachi was a formal name or simply meant to convey that through this author God was speaking, since we have no record of anyone named Malachi who would fit the author of this book. It is, I think, properly placed as the final book of the Hebrew canon, and it serves exceptionally well as a transition to the new covenant in Christ's blood. If I were pressed to guess at an author, I would guess either Ezra or Nehemiah. But as God has left it mysterious, it is fun to speculate. And even if my speculations are wrong, I am certain that there is more going on with the anonymity of this author than a simple issue of naming. If we look at the Hebrew in the first verses of chapters 1 and 3, we find 1. The word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And in 3, the famous predictive verse of John the Baptist coming. Behold, I send Malachi, translated as my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Since the Hebrew is the same in these verses, I think it makes more sense in both cases to read the Hebrew word Malachi as my messenger, and not as a formal name. As our listeners know, I am a fan of the sort of mystery that allows God's meaning in Scripture to be much deeper than we realize, to have not only multiple meanings, but bottomless meaning. We see this in prophetic writing all the time, where multiple meanings apply both to the present context and to a predictive future. The author was, most certainly, a particular Hebrew person writing around the time of the early Second Temple period in Israel's history. But what we are supposed to know about this person is just that he is God's messenger, nothing else. When Jesus quotes Malachi in both Matthew and Luke, he intensifies the profundity of this book and this question. From Matthew 11, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John the Baptist. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Our Lord himself identifies John the Baptist with the prophesied "my messenger" from the third chapter of Malachi. And he goes on to identify John the Baptist with Elijah who is to come. We should recall that Elijah, whom many consider the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, did not see death, but was taken up by God. It is intriguing to think of Elijah as the human author of this book. But even if that is not how God, in fact, wrote it, it most certainly is written in the spirit and power of Elijah as the conclusion of the Old Testament revelation. John's dual status as the final Old Testament prophet fits perfectly with the prophet who concluded the Old Testament canon with his final prophetic message, known only as God's messenger. As John the Baptist was the messenger sent before the face of the incarnate Son of God, preparing the way, as indeed all the law and prophets did through Malachi. In that sense, then, as Jesus is the incarnation of the God of the Old Testament, John the Baptist is the incarnation of the prophet Malachi, God's messenger, who is the end of that old covenant of law, pointing forward to the institution of grace in the person of our Lord. As John the Baptist will say, "He must increase, and I must decrease." And of course, I cannot fail to point out the fact that it is only the Apostle John, and not the synoptic authors, who report these words of John the Baptist. As we close this week, I ask you to continue to listen. There is an embarrassment of riches yet to uncover here in the book of Malachi, and we have barely begun. I would like to reiterate and emphasize what we have discovered this week, and glimpse some of what is to come. 1. Malachi means "my messenger." God sends this book, I would argue anonymously, to the Hebrew nation with all the spiritual authority of Yahweh himself, through the tradition of the inspired and spirit-filled prophetic writings meant to reveal the great King, the one true God. 2. Malachi, like John the Baptist, announces the coming of the Lord. This is the role of God's messenger. It was likewise the role of the Hebrew nation and its covenant with God to point to the Savior, to prepare the way. Malachi is like a summary of the law and the prophets, and an indexical précis of what is to come. 3. John the Baptist is the incarnation, small I, of the Old Testament revelation, of the prophets generally, and Malachi more particularly, as the name of this book reveals. John in his person, like Malachi in its writing, marks the end point of Old Testament revelation. Jesus is the incarnation, capital I, of the God revealed in that revelation, the beginning of a new apocalypsis, a new revelation, the incarnation. The Old Testament does not die, but is fulfilled in the person of our Lord. And it is this fulfillment that is the new covenant of grace. There is yet a further apocalypsis, a revelation to come when Jesus returns in glory. This too is revealed in Malachi. 4. One final suggestion. The New Testament, I believe, should begin with John's Gospel, and not the Synoptics. In the beginning God are the first words of the Old Testament revelation in Genesis 1. The New Testament, I believe, should start, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I am a Christian, with the searching and skeptical mind of an atheist. I don't want to believe anything that isn't true. I know both sides of the looking glass, and I know them with open eyes. I choose Christ's side. I invite you to join me from wherever you stand before the looking glass. That's this week's episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can have your religious cake and eat it too. You can have reason, respect for science, a 21st century worldview, and be a Christian.